Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Young Conductors Podcast.
We are your hosts, Sean and Cole, two conductors on a mission to encourage, educate, and inspire young conductor teachers.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Young Conductors Podcast. We are so excited to be back for another episode, but it feels like it's been such a long time. Don't you think so, Sean?
Yes, it has been such a long time. We've been so busy with various things, but we promise we have not forgotten you all. Speaking of being busy, congratulations to Cole for graduating with his master's from Radford University.
Yay!
There.
All done. Another expensive piece of paper. Yes. No, it feels good to be done, but it's kind of like daunting, you know, like what the next steps are. I'm sure everybody understands the feeling. And
yes, into the whatnot, real world now.
Yeah, so I have a bunch of, I was about to say auditions. No, not auditions, about a bunch of interviews and things to be looking out for. So we'll see where I land. I don't know, wherever the wind blows is where I might end up. But Sean's hoping that I can go to where he is, because there's a job open up there. No.
Yeah, come on up.
Anywho, today's topic is about conducting videos, all things conducting videos. So we're going to be sharing the good, the bad, the in-between, everything that we can think of to just share our thoughts and opinions on, is it niche? I don't know. I guess we consider it a niche topic, you know, conducting videos. I think it's definitely different from like normal like audition clips and whatnot. You know, you don't have like a set little thing that you need to say we're going to get started and talking about that right off the bat. So I first want to say that, you know, we always say this, I think, in a bunch of our different conversations, but you know, a lot of the things that we're sharing, we learned ourselves through like trial and error, or maybe it's something that a mentor of ours shared with us, but we are never saying that we are experts on the situation. We're just wanting to share the things that we've figured out kind of on our own and with help of people that have influenced us and helped bring us to where we are today. So I think when we first think about videos, you know, the very first question to be discussed is, what exactly are they wanting to see in this conducting video? You know, and I think about all the different things that we've figured out, but are they wanting to see a performance? Are they wanting to see you rehearse? Are they focusing on gesture? Are they focusing on like pedagogy? I don't know. It's kind of up and up. Sean, what kind of things have you made videos for? Has it just been one kind of video, or has it been a bunch of different stuff?
Yeah. So thankfully, some of the like festivals or workshops or masterclasses that I've applied for have actually said like a specific like explanation, like we want 10 minutes of performance and then 5 minutes of rehearsal or something to that effect. So it's usually specific to whatever type of program that you're applying for, whether it's a graduate school or a workshop or something. But that's the most important thing, is to make sure that your video is tailored to that specific thing. You don't want to reuse videos just because like, oh, well, this is my best video. You want to tailor it to the specific thing that you're applying for and make sure you're hitting all of those. Like if it's 15 minute minimum, you got to make sure that your video is 15 minutes. If they open the video and it's 14 minutes, that's probably a reason for them to not even watch the video.
So, 100%.
Yeah.
Everybody likes some nice contrast. I mean, even if you narrow it down to just the pieces that you're showcasing.
Right.
Like I think it would be good to, you know, for my instance in the choral world, and I think it's similar everywhere else, but a lot of videos that I submit, whether it's for grad school auditions or master classes, and even jobs too, sometimes have been asking to see contrasting pieces, styles, mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z, different time periods, yada, yada, yada. But like Sean said, a lot of that's going to be in the description of whatever you are submitting it for. I know that when I submitted for the ACDA Southern Region Conducting Masterclass, they had like, I don't know, 3 pages of just information about the submission itself. You know, we'll kind of get into some of those things today, but you just need to be able to read the fine print, because Because a lot of times, if you don't pay attention to those things, that's the easiest way to move on to the next person or the next submission. You know, it's like, let's say that Sean, what did you say? 15 minutes was that max that you just used as an example? Maybe a place will say that, be like, all right, 15 minutes is the most you do. Let's say that you submit 25 minutes.
Yeah, you're done.
Already taste in my mouth and be like, all right, moving on to the next person. So yeah, starting off the bat, it's really good to pay attention. What exactly are they wanting to see? And I'm very type A in the sense that I will like write it all down, because looking at 3 pages of information might be daunting. But if I just take that apart and be like, okay, 15 minute max, contrasting pieces, this kind of angle, blah, 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 it's definitely going to be first thing that I think about is where am I going to put my camera? And there's a lot of things to consider when you're doing it. I might place my camera in a different position if I was recording a rehearsal versus if I was recording a concert. Sean, do you, is it similar for you or is it different?
Yeah, I would say I think my rehearsal videos, my camera's a little bit closer to me than a performance. Now that I think about that, I'm like, I'm not really sure why I do that, but that's just what I have done.
Yeah, I think I've kind of mixed around with both. I mean, even I think the closest I've ever had is when I like make videos for like TikTok or something. That's like really, really close, just because I want to keep people's privacy. I don't really think it matters to me. I mean, I will say, and we'll show, we have examples here in a little bit that I'll say, I don't want to say too much to let you see some of that stuff, but one time for a masterclass submission, the rehearsal portion, they wanted to see my whole entire body, which I was like, you know, whatever. Why can't you just see like the upper half? But I had to like make it in a way that they could see just me. They didn't want to see any singers. So that was something that I'll show you in a little bit. But I mean, usually I just want them to see like my torso up. As long as they can see like my full wingspan of my gesture and everything that I'm doing, I think that that's what's most important, like clarity wise.
Yeah.
But I think also the further away you get in a rehearsal setting, and somebody talked about this. Oh, Bro, It's Mike, I think, talked about it in one of his videos. If anybody's familiar, actually, it's Bro, It's Dr. Mike now. Right. But congratulations. And, what was I saying? Oh, he said in rehearsal videos, he talks about using mics, which I find is something that I have not experimented with to my fullest, but he wears like a little wireless mic so he can send, like put his camera further away. I don't have that. And I guess I could mess around if I really wanted to, but I don't want my video to be too far away in a rehearsal sense because I want them to be able to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I will I do use like audio equipment for performances, but for rehearsals, I've never done that in terms of like recording the audio. I think people kind of realize that a rehearsal footage is not going to be as what's the word I'm looking for? The word is not professional, but that's kind of where I'm leaning to. It's not going to be as
you're professional. You're saying the audio of the ensemble?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. Yeah. Just to clarify.
Yeah. But for my performance videos, I use like microphones and, you know, to cut up the audio where it's needed. And I splice it with the video from my iPhone. That's in the equipment stuff, which we're going to get into. I just was thinking that.
I mean, I think it's important. I mean, I would say I don't want them to just hear me. Like I want them to hear the ensemble too, because I think that a lot of times, and some of the submission instructions say that people are sometimes looking to hear growth in the rehearsal portion. So I think it's important for them to hear the ensemble. I mean, they should be able to hear me, yes, but I want them to be able to hear that this is where they were at the beginning and now here they are. So I think that's my only thought process because I think I was misunderstanding at first, but that's a lot of splicing to do. So I think one of the biggest things would probably be if it was me and I was trying to figure out how to take audio from a wireless mic and audio from like the surround camera or whatever, I'd probably look up a lot of videos on YouTube. That's like the best.
Well, that's how like I record, I record all the video with my iPhone, and then I just simply use the audio from the microphone and then put it to my iPhone video. It's not as complicated. I mean, it's a little challenging, but it's not as complicated as it sounds.
I don't know. I'm good at technology sometimes. Other times I'm not. I can probably figure it out. We could all figure it out together. And if anybody wants to start a little group to figure that out, let me join. We'll figure it out together.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Josh?
Well, I was just going to say, I think we'll probably see in some of our videos, like I know in my two videos, I have an example of where I used the microphones and where I didn't use the microphones, and you'll
hear
a drastic difference. And then,
yeah, maybe you'll sell me on that.
Yeah. And with singers, it might be a little different because like most of the time there's only four parts happening, but with the orchestra, there's like multiple parts happening. So
27.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a fine.
It also might not be a thing. Like for choir, it could also just be like the standard iPhone microphone might be fine. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even thinking about mic setup, I mean, it's important to think about, you know, what was I going to say? Where the camera goes. But yeah, I've thought about that too. Like, where do I want to put my phone?
Yeah.
Because that's normally what I use. Just iPhone. Right. We'll probably get into different cameras and stuff. But
yeah,
I got the really nice iPhone 14 Pro because I wanted that third little camera lens. And it really is... Like I put it on cinematic setting, but anyhow, I have to think about where do I want to put my camera in relation to the feedback that they're going to be getting from the group of singers. Like, I don't want to put my camera in front of maybe like my weakest soprano or like my loudest soprano or whoever. Right. If somebody's going to have a lot of notes wrong or whatever, like I don't want to put it in front of them. And I have before moved some folks to adjust the sound, you know. So maybe that's a good idea. I wonder if like I could get another mic to like put it off further away from the singers to not get as much individual noise. That's definitely something I could explore. I'm sure somebody out there like, oh, I've tried that.
There's also a microphone. It's a Zoom microphone that plugs right into your phone, and it's like a spatial, I don't know the technical terms, I'm horrible with sound things, but it is like a spatial audio recording where it's not just going to be the person that's right behind the iPhone. So that's something to consider too for anyone who uses their iPhone. I did use it for a while, but I figured that these external microphones that I'll talk about are a little bit better, but
cool. I'm excited to hear about it. So why don't we talk about that? So, I mean, first of all, I see that you want to talk about a tripod. Do you want to share with us your tripod?
Yeah. So for those of you who have never seen me in person, I'm a pretty tall person. I'm 6'4". So I had to get a tripod that's going to be high enough, especially when I'm on the podium. It's like I'm Mount Everest, and I sometimes don't like using a podium because of that. So my initial tripod was actually too low. It was like cutting off the top of my head. So I had to get this other one, and it's from Amazon. It's like, I don't know, $25, very cheap. It's a Nexboom iPhone tripod stand, and it's the 67-inch that I got. And it has like four different levels, and you can rotate and flip and do all kinds of stuff. It's literally like $25. So that's something that I use because like Cole, I do use all of my video comes from my iPhone camera because I also have the 14 Pro, and it's just, why would I spend an extra like $1,000 on a camera when I literally have one in my pocket? I just think that's the smartest thing to do for me. And the placement of the tripod and camera, I like to put it off, if you're looking at the orchestra, a little bit off to the left, kind of like where the flutes and clarinets would be, kind of a little bit in front of them. Obviously you want to try to make sure you're not disrupting any of your musicians while you're putting the camera right inside of the orchestra. But
there have been some clunky tripods that I've seen in orchestras, yes, and choirs and stuff, so I get that.
Yeah. So thankfully this one's very sleek. It's black and it's not too like clunky. It's just very like,
I wonder if we have the same one.
We might.
I admit, I don't know the name. I bought it. It was like a cheap option.
I went on my Amazon order history and looked it up really quick.
I'm sure I could look. Maybe it's the same one. Yeah, what drew me to it is I wanted to make sure that it was not very visible to the audience.
Yes.
Because I will say, we ended up losing the tripod that we had, but it was like this big, thick, like rose gold thing that was just like atrocious to look at. Yeah. And so when I wanted to get one for myself, I wanted to get one that was like very slim, but black. So it would kind of fade into my phone, which is also black. Which, side note, if you're going to use your phone, maybe don't put your like purple pink princess sparkle unicorn.
I do have like the purple iPhone. So I do have a black case on it though. So I guess it's fine.
I'm just saying, like, no bedazzled cases probably because the lights will bounce off and it'll draw to people's attention. And I don't really want people to like think too much about the tripod because they should really be listening about the music. So, yeah, I'm glad. I mean, when I think about placement, I guess I didn't really say this earlier, but I really prefer it to be in front of me. And I think it's pretty similar, actually, in both performance and rehearsal. As long as they're getting, like, my main upper torso area, like, that's really all I care about and that they can hear me. And so I usually put it a few feet in front of the choir. And when I record, I usually stand back just a tiny bit so it's not so close to them. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear if anybody else has any new exciting, I don't know, positions for their tripod that they want to share with us. You know, like feel free.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, DM us. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. So you talked about some microphones. I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about what you got.
Sure. So I'll put a disclaimer out there. We hire like a sound person to come in and do like our recording stuff with the Monongalia Symphony. So I don't personally own any of these things, but I can show and tell you where to get these things. And so that way you can do it yourself. You can find the microphones on Sweetwater or any type of store that sells these type of things. What you'll want is a match stereo pair condenser microphones. It comes in a pack of two. And then you'll also want a Zoom recorder. I think it's the Zoom Recorder H4 is the one that's most like user-friendly and just easier to use. And essentially, you'll have to buy probably microphone stands because I don't think the condenser mics come with those stands. But you'll buy the stands, and then we put the microphones right behind the podium. So the microphones are facing, one's going this way and one's going... Sorry, my screen is blurred. One's going this way and one's going this way, kind of like an X. And it's right in front of the orchestra. So you're picking up all of the sounds that are happening from the orchestra. And then the audio file itself gets recorded onto the Zoom recorder. That's where you find the file. And then from there, you can put it to your computer. And then I also use, let me find the name of it really quick. It's on here somewhere. I use Audacity to like trim the audio. So what he gives me the audio file of the whole entire concert. And then I take my iPhone video, put it into iMovie, and then I detach the audio. It's very easy to do this part. You detach the audio from the iMovie and you just delete it and then it goes away. And then if you go and watch your video, it's going to be silent because there's no audio file. So you go into Audacity and then you just trim up the video. Like, say you did the overture and then you have the concerto, then you have the symphony or whatever, all in one recording. You just splice up that. You can save that little part of the video. Like, let's just say you save the overture part and that saves as an audio file. And then you put that into the iMovie video. Now, this is where that all sounds really tricky, but it's not. It takes some time, but it's easy to do. The hardest part is making sure that the audio lines up with the video. That's the hardest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
annoying.
Yes, that takes the most time. And I get pretty frustrated when doing it. Sometimes I just like close my computer. I'm like, I'm done. I'll do it tomorrow.
I will
know I
say
said
that
it.
it's way easier to use the computer version of iMovie to do this stuff than it is like
Yes.
your phone. I used to use my phone when I first started out. I would like splice things and like put it together, and you know, it's just so hard to drag and find the right spot. But if you use your computer to use iMovie, or if you have like a Windows, whatever thing that you have, you could
Yes.
really zoom in to see all of the sound and try to match it up
Yeah,
perfectly. Sorry,
it's
what were
much
you
better.
saying?
No, that's a great thing to say because I've also tried to use my phone. Actually, I do use the phone to like trim the video for some reason because on the computer it's a weird thing, but any type of audio thing it has to be on the computer. I'm not sure what the Windows equivalent is to iMovie. It might be like Windows Media Player
No.
or something. But yeah, that's my sound thing that we do, and it's much better than just using a regular like iPhone microphone. And you'll hear that when we show the examples.
And I'll say, like, to those of you who are like still starting out into this path, I don't think that you should go out and buy all these
Yes,
fancy smancy things.
no.
I have a tripod that I got for like 14 bucks, and I use my phone, and it does just fine. And
Right.
I will say, like, during my time at grad school, we ended up buying a GoPro, a really nice GoPro for like conducting videos. And we were very excited to use it, and it just we found out as time went on that it was very complicated to use. The video would save like on an SD card, you had to transfer it over, so the battery would die pretty easily. It just was a mess to try to figure out. And also, I don't know why it's just the truth of the matter, but the video quality on my iPhone was way better than it was on the GoPro.
Yeah.
Way better. So like now that's just what I use. So, this might be something to add on a list for like a wish list. Like let's say you start your own ensemble and it's growing. Maybe you can add these things on, find a grant or some donations to help fund it. Or maybe if you're starting off at a public school job, maybe you can see if you could fundraise for some of this equipment, because a lot of it is not just for these videos, but it's good to have good recordings, But for now, an iPhone and a tripod works perfectly fine.
Yes. Especially
Perfectly
if
fine.
you're applying for like, let's say you're in your undergrad applying for a master's in conducting. I mean, depending on the school you're applying to, a lot of them aren't going to expect these top tier high quality videos. Obviously, you want to try your best to get the best that you can.
Right.
But yes, the iPhone and tripod has done Cole and I very
So well. Best
Yeah.
$14 I've ever spent.
Yes.
I don't even say like what was I gonna say? I never start my video myself. That's another thing I'll quickly add in. So when it's like a performance, I usually like designate a certain soprano because they're the most trustworthy. Sorry. I designate a certain soprano to always turn it on for me and to make sure everything's set up, because it's really important to figure out those things because you don't really want something to go bad. That's happened to me before. Somebody was
Me
supposed to
too.
start a video and they forgot, and I was really devastated because it's something that I really worked hard for. But also, just a little anecdote, but I've done that too. And it was something that was really important for my mentor, and I missed the mark and I forgot to hit
Mama
record.
really came back.
And I was in the zone. I was even playing for her. I was playing djembe, and I was in the middle of playing djembe, and I just was like, I forgot to hit record. So it's always good to maybe have a backup person too to hit
Yeah.
record. But yeah, an iPhone and a tripod works
Yeah.
perfectly fine.
And actually, on that same topic, I also have someone start it, but I also, even though it kind of disrupts the flow of the concert, I will look at them and like give them a head nod and be like, "Is this recording?" And they'll say yes. So that might be a little overboard, but I just
I wish
want
I could do that, but once I get in the zone and I'm just like, bop, bop, bop,
you're just
bop,
going,
because
yeah.
I don't want concerts to go on too long. I don't want to have people have to wait for stuff. So I'm pretty
Yeah.
like, just hopefully
Just
they
keep
did it when
up.
they walked in. But
Yeah.
usually I'll record like my whole set. Like if it's, let's say that I have like four different groups I'm connecting, I'll record one set, another set, another set, because I don't know, storage can be an annoying thing. And that's
Yeah.
another thing to make sure if you're going to use your phone or use your S something with an SD card, make sure that you have enough storage. because I will say, like, a 30-minute video on the GoPro is, like, I don't know, I'll just exaggerate and say 30 gigabytes of space, which is ridiculous to think about. But it's important to make sure of those things ahead of time, especially because I always make sure that my videos on my iPhone 14 Pro are 4K, and I like the cinematic view because it blurs the background of the audience. So it's literally just me, and it looks really nice and edited. But yeah, make sure that you have a lot of space. We didn't put that down to talk about, but I'm so glad I thought about that, because that's something really important that I always try to make sure. But let's skip a little bit of our tips, and why don't we go ahead and transition into some examples? So
it's good.
We have gathered a few examples to show you. And if those of you are listening just with the audio, feel free to like keep listening, or you can like pause and like skip ahead and maybe come back when you're in a space, you're not driving or, you know, doing your yoga. I don't know what people do. I prefer to watch podcasts. So, but you could come back to this part to like see the examples. Maybe you can listen along. Maybe we'll describe it in as much detail as we can. So I created a little PowerPoint. It's like, I don't know, top tier graphic design. And I'm so excited for everybody to see all of my hard work. No, it's a simple PowerPoint to just show some bad and good examples. And we're going to kind of talk about, we both have compiled good and bad. So we're going to talk about what makes those. And I want to premise, we're not talking, I'll say speech for myself. When I say good and bad videos, it's not the audio or the ensemble that we're talking about. It's just like specific things to conducting videos that you'll see. So let's get started. Can you see this?
Yep.
Did it transition? Perfect. So I think the first one is Sean. So we're going to give him a little watch, and then Sean, just yell at me when you want me to stop.
Okay.
Here we go. Perfect.
So what made me pick this video was the angle and placement of the camera.
That is a big head of hair.
Yes. You never, ever, ever want your camera to be blocked by some of the musicians. And there are certain parts, I don't necessarily think we got to them yet, but where my hands are blocked by the person's head completely. And that is not what we want at all, because any obstruction to the view of the conductor from the video is going to be, you know, that's going to be a point that you lose in the audition or whatever it is that you're applying for.
And once again, you just never know like what people's privacy preferences are. And so like if you have a video and it's like showing people's faces, that just makes me feel a little frazzled sometimes. Yeah. So,
and if this was like, actually, I think this is when I did not have my tripod that I liked. If it was much higher, it could have been better, but it wasn't. And like, I'll say, I think the conducting is fine. Like, that would have been a good video to use, but you can't use that because of the
view. Is this the time period where you would use your iPad on a music stand
to I think record? This is close to that. Yeah. One time I embarrassingly enough, I use my, like, I have one of the big iPads because I read music off of it quite a lot. And that was before my iPhone. I used the iPad to record my conducting videos, but I didn't have a tripod, so I would use a stand. And literally during a performance, my iPad fell off the stand and made this like crashing sound.
Sure did.
And people were like, what was that noise that was on the stage? I said, that was my iPad crashing.
Yeah, I remember it was your first performance in grad school.
I think so,
And I saw it, and I just remember seeing your iPad go, and I was like, ooh. And I was like, I hope it didn't crack, no.
Yeah, it did crack just a little bit, but I had a screen protector, so it was okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to – that's half of a video that I lost because I used – an iPad on a stand. I'm not saying
the worst.
An iPad would be bad. Like, that might be fine, but
yeah,
you just got to use a tripod. Don't use a stand.
And I'll say, even though I have people like start the video, I always make sure that I place it exactly where I want it.
Yes.
And you should always do it after everything is set. So like if you're, you know, have orchestra, which is like 40,000 chairs, to make sure that it's like in a spot that's not going to be moved by somebody or whatever, to ensure that whoever's going to hit record, it's ready to go. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Cause the worst thing is if somebody moves it or whatever, and you get it really bad for you. So thanks for sharing that example.
Yeah. And then
remember what mine also is.
This is,
let's see what's next. Okay. We'll just watch a little bit. Beautiful fist I have. I'm barely peeking out.
It's a piano solo.
Right. So I'll say that the reason why I put this as a bad example, honestly, they sound beautiful, but everything about this setup was just not how I wanted it. It was out of my control. It's nothing that I could have done. It's like the first thing right off the bat, I hate that it's being recorded from my side, but that's just what we had to do. We didn't have a lot of space. And like I said, I didn't want it to be too clunky. So it had to be off to the side, which is like, honestly, a horrible view. It's just very self-conscious, horrible view, I think, in my opinion, of me. But also, you're not able to like fully see my gesture, which is something that I also wrote to talk about in this. It's like you can't see both of my hands doing the things that they're doing independently as much because of the angles only one-sided.
Yeah.
So like I said at the very beginning, you could barely see what my dominant hand, which is left, was doing with my conducting gesture because it was hidden by my body. Now, this is during my time at the Virginia Governor's School, which Sean and I worked at this past summer, and they were an excellent group, and they beautifully singing, but I just wish that it was a little bit better for me to share as a conductor. This would be great to share, like, oh, this is the choir that did this thing, but not necessarily a good conducting video, per se.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if it's just the view, like the side profile. If someone were to ask, like, I mean, most conducting things are going to ask for like a musician's point of view, but if they specifically asked for that, that would be like a point off, like they didn't follow the instructions or whatever.
Yeah. This is like Molly's mom's view in the very front corner of the seat. You know, it's like
right.
Not too great. So, let's look and see what's the next thing that we have. So those are both two bad performance videos. And now we're going to show you some good performance examples. So first, I think Sean is up. Let's see. Big downbeat there. That massive wingspan.
Stopped it right before that. But yeah, the thing that I love about this video is, again, the angle I think is perfect. It's like the perfect distance from me. It's showing showing me quite clear. I think it could be zoomed in a little bit and it would still be fine. But actually I love that view, and it's nice to see. I know this is not important at all, but just looking back, this was our very first concert, and it's nice to see that many people in the audience. That's so special to me.
I was one of them.
You were one of our first supporters. Look at you.
Yeah. I don't think I was in view though. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. I think you were over to the right a little bit.
Like a where's Waldo, where's Cole? I agree. Also, I like it. I think you can see everything, which is really important, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the audio is just, if you remember from the first video, it's just light years better. And it's just, it makes a huge difference from like a mediocre, low quality video to where now this is a high quality video. And this video specifically was recorded with my iPhone 14 Pro, where I think the first one, it could have been the iPad or an older iPhone. And I think you can see that difference as
well. It's good. It's just nice. I love the iPhones have that.
Yeah, it's just very crisp.
It's all right. Let's see. What's next on the docket? Oh, yes. This is from my recital. Anyhow, there's a bunch of things that I like about this video. Not only do I have just a strong love for the group, it's a great memory, but I also use my iPhone to record this. And I will say, even though my skin is a little orange, I'm looking a bit like an Oompa Loompa, I don't think that really matters in the grand scheme of things. But you can kind of see everything that I'm doing with my gesture.
Yeah.
And I told you that I use the cinematic video option on my iPhone, which blurs out the people in the background. You can kind of see them, yeah, but it's not as detailed as the original video without the cinematic version, which I really like. Because, once again, I don't – what if, like, a little girl is, like, picking her nose or something in the front row, right? You blur that out. They're not focusing on it. They're just focusing on your gesture, which is really the most important thing, I think, of the conducting video in a performance, is really seeing the gesture. Are you showing the music? You know, are you being clear? Is your choir or your ensemble following you? I think that that's really important. So that's why it's one of my faves. Yeah, let's move on. What's next? I think we're talking about rehearsals now. Okay. I have a lot of footage from rehearsals. I mean, I have a bunch from concerts too, but obviously the majority of our time is spent in the rehearsals. Concerts are just end up being a bit of a snapshot. And so when I think about the rehearsal video itself, I don't know, you don't always get it in the first take. There have been many times where I recorded a rehearsal and I'm like, that didn't go well at all, you know, and then I had to go back and try to figure out all the things, because I want them to see different things in my rehearsal clips, different from my concert or performance example. So like performance examples, gesture, clarity, all that stuff is really important. It transfers into the rehearsal. I want them to see all those things. However, I also want them to see that I have a sense of humor. I think that's important for a rehearsal clip. I want them to find some moment that they might giggle or be like, what is he doing? Or like, that's unique. And I also want them to know that I'm knowledgeable. So I'm not going to do a rehearsal clip or submit it where I'm just a metronome. Like, I really want them to see my personality, my knowledge come forward. So that's really important. So I'm going to talk about this clip that I'm going to share with y'all. And I want to say this is pre-grad school. This is still baby conductor Cole. So focus that sound. So first thing right off the bat, I hate the angle. I hate the angle. This is the time where I was using my phone, yes, but I would like prop it up. You can see it was kind of like slanted against like a book or something. I'm not sure. I placed it on the piano, bad angle. I hate this angle. At this point in time, it's too close and it's not very, what's the word that I want to use? It's not very flattering angle. Yeah. It kind of helped a bit, but I mean, everybody's double chin would pop out, you know, at this angle, but thankfully I was wearing a mask. It was pandemic time. So yeah,
good times.
Kind of hiding that a bit, but I just, you know, didn't like this as much as an angle wise for this video. Now I will say I did show a lot of knowledge. I did show a lot of some humor and stuff in this. So that makes it a good video, but I just despised the angle, but I just didn't know. So I didn't have a Young Conductors podcast to tell me how to set up my video and do all that stuff. So And yeah, let's see Sean's
backbone. Actually, I don't think. Oh yeah, this is. I'll preface it just as Cole did. This is baby Sean conducting, and I don't know what I was thinking at all.
We didn't know, and it's okay. It's nice to look back fondly on the two nerds that were like, we're going to be conductors.
Right.
See what we thought was good in the moment. I thought that video of me was, like, great. I, like, loved the angle back in the day, but I just
right. didn't That's know. Just how we are.
You just didn't know.
I also want to – sorry, this is just – you said this. I just want to emphasize it. Notice how Cole said he really loved all the stuff that he did in the video, and he thought it was a great rehearsal. But just the angle alone was enough to say – nope, not a good video.
Yeah.
So it's definitely important to make sure you're setting yourself up for the right things.
Right. I would have been distracted, I think, if I was watching this for something. Because I'm like, why is it so close? You know,
right.
But
right.
I didn't know any better. So, and yeah, let's see your rehearsal example.
So you get a really nice view of my knees. It's really so good.
And I love the face you're making. You never look better.
I know, yeah. You don't have to look at my face. That's great. So for those of you who are listening and not watching, it's literally just an angle of my waist down. And I'm also sitting in a chair, which normally I don't like to sit when I'm conducting. But for some reason, I did. I must have been really hot. It was summer. It looks like I'm wearing shorts. So maybe that was the thing.
Yeah, your calves are out.
Yeah. So this is just another example of make sure that whoever is setting up your video, well, in this case, it was a rehearsal. So I was setting up my own video. I must just have not set it up correctly.
Was this iPad error or no?
I think this might have been iPad.
How did you get the downward angle on the iPad? That's what I'm
Maybe wondering. It wasn't. Actually, thinking about this piece, no, I think I had my first tripod. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly have no idea what was going on. Maybe someone else recorded it for me. I don't know, but I found it, and I was like, I have to show this because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is really funny. It
just goes to show, like, you might have, again, you might have a good video of conducting or what you're saying, but it doesn't matter if it looks like this.
Yeah. A trick of the trade, if you're wondering, like, will I be able to see myself well? What I have done before is, like, I'll set the tripod up, get the camera angle, I'll hit record, and then I'll walk around and then I'll conduct a little bit to, like, show my full wingspan, whatever the word is. It's been a long day of adjudicating.
I like wavelength. That's good.
Yeah, the wavelength. I'll show my full wingspan, and then I'll walk back around, stop the record, and I'll watch back, and I'll adjust as necessary. That's something I'm doing, like, you know, not right before the concert or rehearsal starts, but just preparing ahead of time to not, you know, only show your shoulders down like Sean showed us here. So let's talk about some good rehearsal clip now. So this is something that I used for a masterclass submission, and they specified that they wanted to see my whole entire body. So that's what I ended up doing. So but there's something I don't like about this. So I like the angle, and I will say, like, I listened back a lot of this before I submitted it. You know, the knowledgeable stuff's there, the growth happened, I did something funny. But one thing that I do not like about this video, now that I'm thinking about it, is in the Radford University choir room, we have these big curtains that go all around the room, and I wished I would have pulled them, because this seems very clunky right here, and this seems very clunky, and I'm now noticing it. thankfully I got into this master class. But even if I didn't, maybe that's something to consider. People might have been distracted.
I'm just going to echo what you're saying. I think you definitely want something that's going to show your personality. I think one thing that's helped me is just obviously when we're rehearsing, we should plan something, but a lot of the times we just go in and it's like, okay, we're going to try to do this and this and this. But I think if you're going to specifically record a rehearsal, you should like detail exactly what you're going to do. That way it does come across in the rehearsal or in the video that you're actually doing the things that you wanted to accomplish. Now, sometimes that might not be the case for some people and you just want it to be absolute raw footage, but I think it's helpful if you have a plan on what you're going to rehearse and what exactly you're going to record. And also thinking like the whole part whole, you want to show in the recording all of it, and then you want to fix it, and then you want to show it again so you can see what Cole said, you can see that growth.
That context is really important. I'm glad that Sean brought that up because, I mean, I have another thought, and don't let me forget about what you said about the plan, but the whole part whole is really important to see, and a lot of people miss out on that. I mean, I always say that as choir directors, a lot of times that when we think about the whole part whole process, we're really good about the part whole part. We dissect something, and then we put it together. Dissect, put it together. But we don't ever really experiment with the whole part whole, the first whole part, putting it in a context. And so that could be a whole other conversation. But yeah, Sean's right that that's really important to think about. Now, going back to what I was going to say, I agree with you slightly, but I also disagree with you slightly, a tiny bit. And thinking about the plan. You'd
be more of like the raw footage person.
Well, the plan part, yes and no. Dr. Sandra Snow, we've had on our podcast before, talks a lot about the rehearsal space being improvisatory. And she talks about you should always have she calls it a mind map. So she figures out the important things that she wants to touch on all that beforehand. But I think when you say plan, that makes me as a type A person think that I need to make a list of everything that I need to do. And sometimes that doesn't feel as natural. Because what I like about Dr. Snow talking about improvisation in the rehearsal classroom is because as conductor teachers, we really take the sound that we get and then we have to provide feedback in the moment. You can't really write out, you know, measures, blah, 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 and then do subsection A, we're going to do the subsection B. We're going to, you know, you can't plan exactly, because what if you go into rehearsal and I don't know, God forbid, but Sean only has one first violin and the other 19 are stuck in traffic. You know, you can't plan for that ahead of time. So yes, you should plan in the sense that you should mind map and try to figure out what you want to do in the rehearsal space, but don't become so rigid in the sense that you're going to be like a robot in your video because you're overthinking that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that planning portion goes into the score study that we've talked about in past episodes. It's really important to do that going into any type of rehearsal setting. But I think that planning will happen in that sense. But so that's why I said it's like a half agree, half disagree.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. Definitely a what was the word? Mind map? Is that what you
use? Mind map is what mind she map. Uses.
Yeah, I like that.
She's like a whole diagram that she does. It's really cool.
If you just go by like if you're going by a list, you can't pretend to fix something that like didn't happen or that didn't go wrong. So
they're listening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, Sopranos, let's fix that T. And it's like, well, that T like was already fine. What are you getting at? So that's why I'm like one of my tips that I'm gonna say about rehearsal footage is to get as much of it as you can. Always. I mean, there was a point of time in my graduate studies when I first started here, every rehearsal I was recording. Did I keep every single recording? Absolutely not. I would listen back to see, really, sometimes I would listen back to see what are things that maybe I wasn't hearing in the moment. What can I fix to plan? You know, I know that they're already messing up on this, so I can go back and whatever. But some rehearsals might be bad, some might be good. And you don't ever want to miss one of those moments where you're like, holy cow, that was an excellent rehearsal. I should have recorded it.
Yes.
Because that improvisatory thing, you can't really lay that up again. You can't really make your musicians be like, well, forget that you did that tea right yesterday or whatever, if that makes sense. But some good examples of things that you can start looking at. I mean, we already mentioned them, but Bro with Dr. Mike, his videos are like very high quality. And I see that a lot, from his TikTok videos to his YouTube videos. And I think I watched somewhere, and I tried to find it to share with y'all, but I couldn't. But he made a video going in depth of what equipment he uses for his. Yeah. So, and a lot of it was too much out of my price range. So it was nice to just know. But if that's something that you're wanting to, if you're familiar with his videos and that's something that you want to look for, I recommend you doing that. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many conducting videos out there, especially performances. And I remember at a grad school audition I went to, the choir room was equipped with a camera that was like kind of like a projector. So it was up at the top of the room. And they had like a little system off to the side where it was just like built-in recording, which I thought was really cool. So, you know, if you're looking at grad school, they might already have these resources for you. So you don't have to worry about setting up a tripod, you know, or whatever. So that's some cool things to think about.
Yeah, definitely become friends with your like productions people at your school, because some of them would be probably more than willing to do it for free just to get experience. That type of thing, or maybe it's one of those things where you go like, hey, let's go have wings and you can do this for me or something.
Right. Yeah.
No.
I'll be kind to the people that help you.
Yes.
Before we end, the last thing that I really want to make sure that we touch on is, where are you going to keep these videos? You know, Sean sent a few of his in his Google Drive, which is nice. That's a good option to do.
I'm just going to preface, I use YouTube, but for those videos, I didn't have them uploaded, so I just
sent them. Well, that was old Sean, right? That's where you uploaded them for safekeeping. So
That
might be a good place to do that. But yeah, I also use YouTube. It's great. You just upload. They're unlisted. And I usually only keep the ones that I might use. YouTube's nice because there's an option for you to like re-download them if you need them later, or you need a splice or do whatever. But yeah, I keep them on YouTube, keep them unlisted, I would say, unless you want a lot of people watching your stuff, which if you do, then feel free. But the one tip that I want to say about YouTube, and this is something that I need to start navigating, and Sean might too, if he does, maybe he doesn't know this, but where we went to undergrad is where I ended up, I used that account to start my YouTube channel. And that's where I've kept a lot of the videos, probably like 98% of the videos of performances and rehearsals that are shareable on that. And they came out a few years ago saying that for alumni, they turn off our accounts after 6 years. And so I have to begin soon. I mean, I have like 3 more years left, but I have to begin soon switching over those videos, and I'm going to have to download them because I don't have them on my phone or laptop because I just put them on YouTube. So I'm going to have to download them. So I wanted to say, if you are a student, maybe even a teacher, and you have a school's account, do not start your YouTube channel for these uploading of videos on those, because what if you change jobs? They'll delete your school account just like that if you leave the county or whatever. Or the same thing if you know, some schools will be like, hey, this is a lifetime account. And that's really great. Maybe you can in that instance. But just learn from me in that. But thinking about the YouTube videos, I think it's, I don't know, I'm very type A, like I've said a few times this episode. But when I am looking at a YouTube video, it's like little things that I notice. So like I've been doing a lot of adjudicating today, as Sean and I talked about earlier, and a lot of the adjudication, they were all online, and I was viewing videos. And so I was thinking about this in preparation for this episode tonight, which is like weird coincidence. But sometimes people's videos were like, new recording was what the title was, you know, or like, audition video or something like that. And so I am very type A about how every aspect of my video looks. So I'm like, you know, I put the title of the piece and the composer and the title of the YouTube video. And then the caption, I always put the title and piece again. And the composer arranger, I always put like what ensemble was this? I put my name. If I have a pianist or collaborative pianist or percussionist or soloist or whatever, I'll put their names in there too. And then I'll always put at the bottom where and when it was recorded. First of all, just to keep track, because sometimes I'm like, when did I do that thing again? And
yeah.
You know, so it's just good habit of doing that.
Yeah, I just want to touch a little bit on that, kind of on the orchestra side of things. So my specific videos that I submit for whether it's a job or a workshop or whatever it is, I use clips, about 2 minute clips of, like, I think the one I have now is, I have 4 different videos about 2 minutes long, and I've clipped them all together in YouTube, on YouTube. And at the time, the title of the video was whatever it was I was applying for. Like, let's say I was applying for, I'll just use the example because I did it last year, the Carl Topolo conducting workshop. I would literally, that would be the title, Carl Topolo conducting workshop, conducting video or conducting application or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then the nice thing about YouTube is if you go into the description, like in my description, I have 0 minutes, 0 seconds to 1 minute and 38 seconds, Beethoven Coriolan Overture. That makes it a chapter. And so they can literally click on that section and it'll take them straight to that. And then 1 minute, 39 seconds to 2 minutes and 58 seconds is Strauss' 4 last songs. Boom. They can click that chapter and go straight to that. So making it very easy for the watcher or the viewer, rather, is the most important thing. Like, they want to be able to see the clip. They want to be able to go right to it. They don't want to see what Cole's saying. They don't want to see new video. What do you mean new video? Like, who is this new video?
Yeah, we're like 30 seconds of like silence. Or
right.
Like, I was trembling, oh, audience clapping. They don't need to hear that. You know,
no,
so
do not like, show. Do not show yourself walking out. Do not show applause. None of that. Get right to it.
Yep. So I usually do a little fade at the end too, to just kind of like when I hit the final thing, it already starts fading out. You know, it's kind of nice. And I don't really, iMovie is easy to use. But anyhow, unless those videos, and then you're good. You're good to go. So this was a very long episode. I think it's one of our longest. And
I know. I think we're just
kind of surprised. We just ramble. Well, this is a lot of things that we do that we don't really talk about, you know.
Right.
Who asked about conducting video? So
yeah,
hopefully you listener will have found some type of inspiration, something new to try, something maybe that you do that you don't notice, you know, maybe to draw attention, to use us, our good and bad examples. You know, they always say it's important to use examples and non-examples. So we have used both. So hopefully you'll have something to take away. And, you know, if you have any other tips that you want to share when we post this, feel free to comment them down below on the episode post. Or you can DM us if you have any thoughts, or you can even just share, you know, something that maybe is helpful for you. We just appreciate you listening. And like Sean said at the beginning, we didn't forget y'all. It's just been busy, busy, busy season. So,
yes.
But we have some more ideas and whatnot coming up. So, without further ado, that is our episode. Thanks so much for watching. Yeah, we've appreciated it. Thanks for hanging out with us, either listening or watching our silly selves. And we hope you all have a great rest of your day or night or, I don't know, or yoga class. I don't know, whatever you're doing right now. We hope it's good. So until next time, everyone. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.